I feel lower now, but I like being lower. So that feels good.
Let's see if I can come down to your level. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Look at that. Ooh, look at that massive close-up.
Yeah, I like it. So I mean, you said that, forgive me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe that you've said that you made the idea that you're not going to be getting rid of any cars ever again.
Yeah, never going to happen. Ever. Well, hold on one second. I think it's fair to say the cars that I build, right, like the cars that go out of my way to build, to keep. Yeah, because I think I could see myself building cars that I don't necessarily want to keep just for the sake of doing something different.
Okay.
And I could see getting rid of those cars.
Might be a dumb question, but does this apply to your truck?
My truck?
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have any problem getting rid of the truck, right?
The Atlas?
Yeah.
No. Go on in 2 seconds.
Right, I just want
to
make sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I wanted to clarify. Yeah. Like, I mean, like if I buy a GTR, mm-hmm. there's a good chance. Like, I mean, like, I'll probably never let it go. Okay. If I buy a Supra, never going to let it go, right? Mm-hmm. So, but, like, if I, you know, like, I have this weird thing that I want to get one of those key trucks. Mm-hmm. And then I want to basically engine swap it. And then after I get done engine swapping it.
With what goal in mind?
Recklessness.
To actually drive it at speed?
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Why not?
They're not made to do that.
You got to make them do it.
There's no way. They're front heavy cars and stuff.
Yeah, so they're worried about you stopping and then it's falling over.
Right, right.
Well, I'll stuff a really big massive motor in the back to even it out.
I don't know. I mean, you could buy a fully functioning car.
Yeah, but what's the fun of that?
I don't know. Maybe safety and just potential.
Like, I think this truck should be an absolute, like...
beast?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could see people doing, like, show cars out of them and making everything all nice and pretty and shiny.
No.
But power?
Power.
I don't know.
That feels great.
Well, here's a question for you. So if you're thinking about, or if you say, if you build any cars in the future and, like, anything that you build or whatever you're going to hold on to, you're not going to get rid of, you're not going to sell.
Yeah.
What happens if you find yourself in the situation of, like, what's a good example of a car? I don't know. Just maybe like an early 2000s cars that have not been so desirable in recent times, but in the future they're going to become kind of those legend cars.
You're talking about like investing like that?
No, but I'm just saying. So say you have a car. Say your Z. Say all the 350Zs end up being used as entry-level drift cars and modded heavy and then trashed and ran into walls and destroyed, and all of a sudden people can't find clean examples of a 350Z.
And then out I come with one AC leaking
nightmare. The price skyrockets. Yeah. And all of a sudden your Z, whichever you paid for it,
is worth 100 grand.
Right. Do you let it go?
I guess it depends on what other cars I have.
I'm just saying, is it the money talks type of thing, or are you going to just hold?
Well, I think, you know, what is the famous line they say? Like, everything's got a price.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't plan to get rid of, like mm-hmm. my kids, right? But, at some point, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I think everything has a, like, you know, I don't care to move from my little crappy house. Because I think the thought of moving gives me hives.
Why?
And because I don't like it. Like, I think that's just a lot of effort. And I feel like when you've accumulated that much stuff over the past, you know, 15 years or so,
mm-hmm.
like to have to then move it, whew. You know, but two, I also feel like
in the process of moving, though, I think a lot of people are willing to let go of a fair share of stuff, right?
There's your problem number one.
So you like to hold on to it?
No, not really. I can't really say I do. My wife would disagree, though. I'm picky with certain things. I think I hoard things that I know or I feel strongly in that I can use at a later date. And I don't mean like... listen, I don't mean like I save an extra microwave. I mean like... like I... like when I, all right, so I have this thing.
That was a really long, drawn out way of saying that you like to keep junk.
Is that what happened there?
No, I'm not junk, but you keep all your stuff.
I'm not sure. You ever notice how, like, you're super crisp and I'm super blurry?
Yeah.
That's weird. Anyhow, with that said, so here's one of the things that I will say. Let's say I have. Our good example is I changed the AC compressor in my car just because it might have been that, right?
Okay.
And I can't fix my AC yet at all. So when I did, and before I tossed the compressor out, I stripped all the bolts and different things and, you know, all these different things off of it. And I categorized them into my little collection there. And now I have bolts. Like, same thing when I used to take apart cars, transmissions, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, when I take something apart, if I'm going to throw something out, like case, the transmission case, I'll go through the whole thing and I'll take it apart just to save a lot of the bolts and the hardware and stuff like that. And I, honestly, I've reused a lot of that stuff. So that's the kind of stuff that I feel like I hoard a lot.
Okay.
My wife would also argue that I hoard black t-shirts. I have a lot of black t-shirts.
What's wrong with that?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So
do you wear them?
Some.
That sounds, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like I'm on the right track.
You know, I have a hard trouble hoarding or whatever it may be, like boxes that stuff came in. And not like, really? Not shipping boxes.
No, you're talking about like you bought a laptop and you don't want to get rid of the laptop box.
Correct.
I have the same thing.
That's what I do.
I just now threw out my, I have an Apple Cinema display at home.
I don't even know what that is, honestly.
Oh, it's a monitor.
Oh.
Like a 27-inch okay. Apple monitor, okay. You know? So I have one of those and like I bought that probably in 2015
mm-hmm.
or so, and I still have the box, and I was literally keeping it in case I decided to sell the monitor, figuring that somebody would want to buy it with the box.
That's exactly what I do.
Well, the problem with this is that I look at the prices of these things selling used, and I'm like, well, F them. For that price, I'm not getting a box.
Okay,
so yeah. I just threw it out. Anyhow, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like, so I guess... I mean, could you... And that's the thing. I think, like, so where's the line with cars? Like we just talk about hoarding, right?
Yeah, I know. So you know what? I don't know if you ever watched the show. Maybe you have, but there was a show on Netflix called it was with the Canadian guys, like Rust Valley. Have you seen
Rust Valley? I've seen it. Yeah,
you have seen it.
Yeah.
So the guy who show that's about, he had all that land with like what was it, 200 cars?
Yeah, a ton of cars.
Yeah, like whatever. So like. Is like, and they call it like, oh, he restores cars in his collection and then sells them or whatever.
Is it really a collection?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, have you seen the cars on his land?
Well,
like they're sitting out to die.
That's a tough call, right?
That's a good example, though.
Well, I know it's a great example. But I just mean like, is it a tough call? Like where? All right. So the question is like, where does the collection / become a hoard, and where is it really a collection?
Yeah. I don't know. There was a video that was I think from this year, unless it was old. Who knows? Maybe it was a few years old. But some people found like a barn find of like these old Porsches.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like that's a collection. Like when you find them all in one area and they're in a barn and they're kind of kept well. Like don't you feel like that's a collection, not hoarded?
Well,
like, but when they're scattered across acres of land, like it kind of has a more hoarder vibe to it.
Okay, so let's play a game.
Yeah, sure. I like games.
Have you ever seen the Samet video that where he goes to that like GTR Japanese like super hardcore junkyard?
Yes.
And there's GTRs all over the place.
Yes.
And they're all mostly either crashed or, you know, destroyed or bad
left
or whatever it is.
Or whatever it is.
But
yeah.
There's like a ton of them there. Mm-hmm. And randomly they'll pull them in and they'll restore one or two, or they'll use the parts for something. So the question is that hoarding?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I would say yeah.
So where do we put the car definition of hoarding? Do we put it at the place of you accumulate things really with no solid plan to actually utilize
them?
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
But like if you were to then, by the way, those are not the cars that we're talking about. That may be the video. But we're talking about there's an area.
Wow!
Look at a field.
That's
Max,
like a collection.
Look for a field. There's a field.
See, like that would be a collection. So that's not hoarding, right?
That's not hoarding because if I remember correctly from the video, and it was a couple of years ago, Samet did that. But if I remember correctly, that area that they were in were all the customer cars, like the cars that they had gotten, the good GTRs that they sold,
mm-hmm.
and they were all there. Being quote unquote maintained and stored for the flip date where they're allowed to come to the US.
Right. This is more,
This is it. Like, I mean, like.
This is what the guy in the Canadian Netflix show looked like, too. Which
yeah,
is a field
but,
of field of rust, you know?
Now, let me tell you something, and I don't know what this is, but if I see something like this and somebody, like, and it's just out there in the open, like, I immediately start to get really excited. Like, I would love to just spend a day or two in this area.
Absolutely.
Like, I just looking at this pile of crap right here, I'm so excited. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, it's not even fair that he's got so much cool stuff there that I should have.
You know what the saddest part, too, is that there's so much to go around.
There's so much. So and he's much. Never going to get to it.
No.
Tommy Carr's car. I mean, like, that stuff is crazy.
So this is definitely not what I would consider a car collection.
Okay, so right? This is a hoard.
Yeah, this is hoarding because it's, well, this is like a junkyard, I guess, but it's not even, right? Like, it's a fancy junkyard? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's got cars. I mean, I don't really know what to make of it all, but I kind of feel like it's very cool.
Well, here's a question. So if you ran into a ton of money, Scott.
Ton of money. Love it.
A ton of money. You have a ton of money and you start.
I like where this is going.
I know. You start bringing in all the cars that you wanted.
All of them.
Right, but if you don't have time and they start getting neglected,
right. But if I have all the money in the world, I'm putting up one of the world's biggest steel buildings of just Scott awesomeness.
Okay, but then even if you have some cars, you can't buy time. So, if you can't get around to some of the cars that you end up collecting, I mean, does it become hoarding? From due to neglect.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
I guess there's definitely a usable window, right? Like, once you get to the point where you have more than you can ever probably get to. But then, we say that, and, like, the truth is, like, I could see myself. Let's say I had, a warehouse full of cars that were in decent shape. So right. I didn't buy, like, things that are completely rusted and destroyed. But, like, let's say I buy cars that are they need some help, they need some love, right. but not, they're not destroyed. And I have, let's say, I have a GTR and I have a Mark IV Supra, and then I end up picking up a Chaser and maybe a third gen RX-7, and let's say I pick up like a Z06 Corvette, and let's say I start accumulating these cars. And I know, like, hey, like, with my time schedule, like, I can barely fix one of my cars just because of the time. But, now I'm going to have 15 cars. I don't think that that's hoarding.
Okay.
Because I think the idea is that I'm collecting the things that I love. But what I will say that I think makes me slightly different than maybe the cars that go out in the fields.
Yeah.
And clearly that's a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a hoard collection to that. But
the guy with the example, the Canada guy, that wasn't a business. That was his personal collection.
I understand
collection.
But so it's the same thing though. Like, imagine like this. So I have all these cool cars, and then all of a sudden somebody comes to me while I have these cool cars, and they're like, hey, like, I got this great deal on an R33 or an R32 GTR. But the engine's out of it and does have a few rust spots on the car, and it's got a lot of the interior that's intact, but it's kind of worn and the paint's faded, and so like somebody says, hey, I'll give you a great deal on this car. I'm probably still gonna get it. So I'm doing essentially what he probably did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to, like, I think there's an obsession point, and now that I really think about it, there's a pretty close correlation between collecting and hoarding, isn't there?
Seems like it.
Hmm.
Walking a fine line, I guess.
So you could say that I collect black t-shirts. I just...
Well, I guess it's better than hoarding. Think about it.
But no, I mean, by definition, I think we just basically established that they're the same.
I know, but no one ever met you, and you said one of the two things, either I hoard black t-shirts or I collect black t-shirts. What sounds better?
Well, I don't know. I mean, isn't it slightly on the I'm fat versus I'm more dense than the average bear?
No, I don't think so. But it'd be a lot weirder.
That's not fair.
It'd be really weird if no one knew you and they're like, hey, that's my friend Scott. He hoards black t-shirts.
It It would be just as equally as bad as you saying, that's my friend Scott, he collects black t-shirts.
No, because then maybe an average person might say, what kind of t-shirts does he collect?
Oh, just the run-of-the-mill Gildans. Just your average G1100 Gildan.
But at least there's a little bit more substance there than hoarding. Hoarding, you'd be like, oh, that's gross. They're probably, you know.
I guess. I mean, I like to think that you can collect things without thinking like one of those shows where you're trapped in your house.
You start going to the hoarder shows with the Domino's boxes everywhere.
Here's my question. Let's take this hoarding this hoarding show that we see. And let's say now.
You know which one that is? Like the old one they used to show?
Of course we know.
Yeah, yeah.
The one where everybody's house ends up being totally contaminated.
Crazy.
And they like clean. Garbage and then they're everywhere. Like, oh my God, there really was a bathroom in here. Yeah, you know that? Yeah. So like what I'm saying is though is let's take those houses. Let's say the same amount of stuff that they have.
Right.
Somehow, yes, they're using a lot of their space and they've reduced but somehow they manage to keep their house neat and clean. And while there's piles of things, it's extremely organized.
Okay.
But the same amount of stuff. The dirt's not there. The filth's not there. But yes, there's stuffing. There's areas. So it's not piled, just thrown on things.
That's collecting.
So what you basically just said.
Yeah, that's collecting.
So now your definition between collecting and hoarding is that
tidiness?
It's tidy and it's organized.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Yeah, kind of.
But I'm saying the same stuff. Same amount of stuff.
That's weird. That does sound
I'm not an expert in this field. I will say that I think that the difference between hoarding and collecting, I think, is awfully blurry.
Yeah.
Because I think that really what we're doing by using those two terms is we're defining what, in our opinion, we're being judgmental and saying, well, that stuff is crap and this stuff is good. If the stuff is good, it's a collection. If the stuff is crap, it's a hoard.
You know, I also, this might be getting into it too deep or so, but I mean.
By the way, Steve Hamilton's collection is not a hoard. It's awesome.
But
just to be clear.
You know, is there also a correlation there, but just between like appreciation versus greed? Like, I'll give you an example. Say you had a collection, Scott.
Collection.
And say you were trying to collect every GTR. So
yes.
You had the Hakusuka and you had a 32, 33, 34, 35. Mm, right?
I like where you're going
with this. You got all of them.
Feels good.
Say the 33 is just in a little rougher condition than the rest of them.
Needs love.
But a lot of love.
All right, so I'm going to give it to it.
And you haven't gotten around to it.
Have not yet.
And it's just sitting there and you haven't touched the thing in years. And there's someone who comes along saying, I got all the resources ready to get this car back to where it needs to be. And like they offer you a fair price for it.
Right.
Is that like, is it greedy to keep the collection? Like, you're like, no, I can't break up my collection. I got all the GTRs. Or is it like an appreciation of just like, no, I really wanted to see this car be taken care of properly. And then you could sell it. Like,
I don't know. I mean, like,
how would you feel?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't let the car go.
You wouldn't?
No.
Oh, wow.
I mean, unless I really needed the money.
Hmm.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's
what if there was a mental thought that you weren't going to get around to it?
There's always a mental thought I'm not going to get around to it. I can't find time to do anything anymore.
Yeah.
But here's what I will say. I will say that the day of that, you know, hopefully always being the case, I hope is not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, I also have this thing where I think there's this very relevant thought that if I do it for me, like, When I say I want the GTRs and the Supras and stuff like that, I think people mistake. And here's the thing: if you're a car person, ask yourself this. When you really break it down, are the reasons you want these cars because it impresses other people? I know this sounds a little strange to me for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more self-aware I've become as I get older, and I start thinking about cars. The one thing that really dawns on me is there's a lot of cars that I want to own because I just love cars. Meaning that if there was nobody around to see me drive these cars, I'd still want them just as bad.
Right.
But I also think that if you really get deep down into your own psyche there and ask yourself, like, why do I really want this car? there's a lot of people, and I would say a large, you know, portion of them that really are drawn to the attention that these cars will bring you. And it's really about the other people, not them.
Well, not to throw particular shots or anything like that, but I feel like that kind of resonates a little higher with some people who are more into maybe luxury cars and stuff like that, you know?
Maybe.
Like the people who want to hop into a BMW or a Porsche or a Mercedes.
Maybe, but like I've known a lot of people in my lifetime that own some really cool cars, and honestly, I just knew that it wasn't because of that. It was because they loved the attention that they got when they had those cars. And they weren't luxury cars. They were, you know, it was just about like, this kid, you know, a kid pulls in a Supra and he knows that everybody's going to be like kind of down with him. It's like that weird acquiring high school popularity in a sense, right? It's not about trying to impress anybody as much as it is the thought that it almost allows you to fit in. That it makes you part of the club.
Yeah, I guess it's hard though. I think there's with some lower end tuner cars, I think there's a really fine line between cool and not cool with some lower end tuner cars, you know?
Yeah, but like, I would also argue that I think it depends on who you're surrounded by.
I guess so.
Now for me, mm-hmm. not so much. Again, so much of the enjoyment I get out of cars is actually in the building and working on them. So not with AC, just to be 100% clear.
Scott hates AC.
I hate air conditioning. Like, I love it when it's on me.
Yeah, that's why
I hate it when I have to fix it.
That's why it's 85 degrees in here.
It's not hot in
it's
here.
It's not hot in here.
I'm freezing my rustiferous hands. It's very cold.
The AC is working just fine.
Yeah, I know. This AC is minty. If I can get half of this into my car, I wouldn't be stressing so hard. But yeah, I mean, look, I think that there are a lot of people, and the best example, I think about some of my friends that have some really cool cars that I know like cars, but, you know, and no shots thrown, and I'm not targeting anybody, but they just drive them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want to do. They want to drive them, and they'll, time to time, they sell one, they get a better one, or they, you know, in their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about these people, and I think, like, all the money that they spend, like, I really wonder if the focus wasn't on, if nobody really cared about cars. Right, like if people didn't look at you as a status, like if people were like, who cares? It's just a car. Like, would they take their money and buy something else? Like, would they be into watches and go into things or go on a fancy vacation? Like, would they use that money for something else? Because honestly, nobody really cared about the car. And I think the answer to that is yes.
Me, it'd be no.
Well, but see, I'm not telling you that's you. I'm just telling you, like, I know people that I feel like if. It, you know, if these, you know, some of the cars that they have, if they didn't garnish some level of attention and status symbol, if it didn't have something to do with that feeling of feeling complete or successful, that I don't believe they'd spend their money on it.
Right, a lot of people would start to drop off. I mean, you know.
Right, that's fair.
But no, there's plenty of people I think that would not. I mean, every car that I've owned has not been a very fan-favorite, popular type of car, and I love them, you know?
Yeah.
Even I purposely got my Subaru right now because I knew that it was not going to be popular because it's ugly, and I'm okay with that, you know?
I hear you.
And I picked up my Veloster. I picked the Veloster N up in, 2020 because I knew it was going to be a rare car. I knew that car was going to have a short-lived life, which it's already discontinued, and I picked that thing up going, I'm going to be the only damn person that's ever owned one of these things, like, because no one else is going to want this thing.
You almost were.
there's people who, that's a lot of people's track car right now. It is.
I mean, I think using the word a lot is a slight stretch, but
there's people that we work with that multiple people that have that car as their track car.
I believe that's the case. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think the word a lot.
It was a short production car, but that's not the car I had. But that's a first-generation Veloster. That's not what I had. And I had a Veloster.
You're very adamant about this. I remember the one time that I found you a first-gen, and I said, hey, listen.
It's not the same car.
That's exactly what you said.
Just not. It's just so different. Those are 1.8 turbos at best. That's not it.
Right. It's not it.
Yeah.
He's not in.
It's just not it.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's...
it's a different car.
I think it's interesting. So it's like... You know, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, as far as collecting goes, I mean, I have this interest to have a tremendous amount of cars, but only because I get pure enjoyment not only just from driving the cars, but I would say even more so building and working on them. I think there's this, you know, I have this excitement, like, you know, especially like when I start to get a car that maybe is new to me and has a lot of areas that can be improved on or, you know, needs the love or whatever it is. I tend to get very excited about those projects because I like how quickly I can bring the car back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Is it hoarding? Is it collecting?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know. I'm not 30 yet. I'm still younger than 30.
You trying to rub it in? I don't know. What are you trying to do here?
No, but I'm not 30 yet. And I think I'm on my seventh car. And I think I would like to get to a point where I can have maybe two or three cars that I just absolutely love to death and never sell them, keep them forever type of cars or whatever it is. And then in the meantime, just maybe just buy, have fun, sell a lot of the other cars I wish I could have gotten.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the realistic way of where I'm going to go with this stuff. You know, because, you know, I've had seven cars, and in my own head, I've had my own little collection of cars that I've owned. Oh, already, you know, like I had my fun with them and I whatever and, the, you know, moved on, whatever. But
yeah, I mean, look, I think that there's here's, I guess, the last thought I'll leave. And I think that this may hold true for at least car people that do a lot of this hoarding / collecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that with every generation of car enthusiasts or people that really start to add more than a few cars into their collection. I think it's true for people that only have one car in their collection, but I certainly think it holds true for people that have multiple cars in their collection.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there's an overwhelming majority of these people that are really essentially buying their nostalgia, right? Like every car that I want, I don't want to say every car, but 90% of the cars that I want are all to do with cars that I've always wanted or wanted for a long period of time that I never, and I, well, probably still don't in many cases, have the money to get.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get a little bit older and a little bit more financially stable, and some of these things are within my grasp, I now want them because it means something to me.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I mean, it's a good example for why, you know, with Porsches, like a brand new 911, I'm like, I mean, they're great cars, amazing cars,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, but like if I can get like a 997 GT3 RS, even a 997 Turbo,
mm-hmm.
hell, I'll even take a 997 911S. I'm just saying a Carrera S, but I'm just saying like, for some reason, that 997, you know, vintage is there for me.
Yep.
So you know, I can't explain that. You know, why do I want a C6 Z06? Why do I, you know, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll take a cool C7 or I'll take a C7 too.
Because they're cool.
Actually, I'll take a C8 as well. I'm just the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, there's, you know, GTRs and Supras and RX7s and I will tell you this: RX-7 is on the lowest end of the cars I want scale.
What do you mean by that?
I've never really been a rotary guy. Yeah, okay. And there's a lot of crap. Like those cars sit and they lose compression. Like I don't know. I don't need that.
If I had RX-7, I'd swap it. I mean, I would just engine swap it.
You might as well start with a shell. You got to find a car that's already beat the to crud.
That's fine. Yeah, I would do an engine swap on it, no doubt about it.
What'd you put in there?
Probably an LS.
Oh. Yeah. I will tell you, back in the day.
I mean, or what, 2J? I don't know.
Yeah. I will tell you that back in the day, mm-hmm. you know, I was a big DSM Evo guy, but more DSM. And in the DSM stage, I had swapped two of the FD
RX-7s.
Cars with 4G63s.
Nice.
So that was interesting. It was very similar to kind of doing, like we back in the day, like even my friend still has one. My friend Dave still has one that he swapped. It was we used to use the 4G63s and Starions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've helped on some Starion swaps, but I never did one. But my friend Dave did a really nice one. Looks like he'll have that car forever because truth is, they're not worth much when you get done with them.
No. I mean,
no. Mm. I mean, I bet you probably maybe right now you might be able to get a little bit more, but but it's a cool, it's still a cool card for what it is, and
yeah.
I don't know. So is it car hoarding or is it car collecting? Let us know what you think. Throw the comments down below. Where do you stand on this issue? Be interesting to hear. Share your thoughts. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Take care of yourself. We'll be back next week. We'll do another one of these little podcasty things.